I forgot. What did we pimp last hour?
I'm going to do this judge story.
Oh, the hot judge.
Boy, it's a good one. Hey, tomorrow I want to remind you, join us. Brian Johns from Mosby Records is going to be talking Towing for Tots. Plus, we have actor C. Thomas Howe and guitar great Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
I'll be on the couch watching Warrior Nun.
Enjoy. Enjoy your time off.
They're ninja nuns that go around and...
So I locked down my Twitter when...
Okay, so you put this on Twitter or Facebook?
I put it on Facebook.
Yeah, you're good. You're going to get hit.
Yeah, let me see if it's still up. It's still up. So if you want to see what this judge looks like, go to my Facebook page, Dwight Whitten. It's up. It's still up for right now. These pictures that are up, they're sexy pictures, but this is not what she's in trouble for this time. The judge's name is Judge Vivian Polina. She's taking heat for showing up to a Zoom hearing. So while she was attending this Zoom hearing, she was in her underwear in bed, sucking on a cigarette.
Thank you.
While the hearing was determined to see if a man should be held in retaliation to a terror bombing attack.
Okay.
If that person should be granted bail. Now, the ethics overseers are calling for the judge to be suspended for 3 months for not being dressed appropriately and professionally during the hearing.
Of course.
As far as the judge says, she says the 33-second video of her lacks context. And she was only lying down in her underwear because she was suffering anxiety attack during the proceedings. So,
okay, well,
but it's not the first time that she's been in trouble.
Mental illness is a kind of a thing. What do you mean? Oh,
this is not the first time. So this is what she's in heat for now. The pictures that I posted are old pictures, but not too old, but where she was in trouble for her Instagram account because she's posted nudes. She's posted the pictures that I have on Facebook. I don't want my account to get suspended, so I hope it doesn't. They're not nude. But
before she was a judge?
No, while she was a judge.
Okay.
No, while she was a judge, she
there
makes
is a
pictures.
Level of decorum, and they expect if you're going to be a judge, then you have to act like you belong there. I agree with the line here. You cannot be posting pictures where you're naked. Sorry. Now, if this, let's flip it. If this was a male judge in his underwear smoking a cigarette waiting to hear a case.
Yeah, that you suspend that one, but keep the female.
He'd have been suspended the second, before the video was over. He'd have been suspended.
It's not just justices that are doing this. I was having a conversation with a Louisville judge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I won't name names because I don't know if she would want this out. But she was telling me a story about, during COVID, they were doing this Zoom trial because everything was Zoom, everything was electronic. So everybody, including the judge, they're all on computer screens. And she keeps, the defendant is making grunting noises and faces the entire time. She asked, she said, sir, are you okay? What's going on with you? He was on the toilet.
Yeah.
During his court proceeding, he was sitting on the toilet.
I don't mind that. When you got to go, you got to go.
But you got to pause and say, can I take a rest? You don't take the judge and everybody else in the restroom with you.
You got to go.
Maybe you're right.
I did a couple of TV hits from the toilet during COVID. WHAS 11, you're welcome.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So, let's expand that. So if it's a man, done, right?
Yeah. Right.
So,
your career, you're done with.
He's done with. So you can't do that. I believe she'll probably be able to get away with it if she says mental health. I get it. Today, that is a thing. When, Rick, we're about to talk to Rick working at Wacky in 1979. There was no mental health day. There was no, what do you mean you don't mentally feel like you can come in today? What do you mean you're depressed? That's all flipped, and it's for the better. It's for the better. It's not, the good old days, we should just be tough and just punch through. No, let people have their days. Anxiety is real. It's hard to move your body when you have an anxiety attack, much less come into work and do your job. So it's crazy. Rick is our producer, and has been for years. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Rick drives the nicest car in the entire.
Yes, he does. It's a Lamborghini. If you ever seen that, like, there's one Lamborghini riding around Louisville, and you're like, who's that guy? It's Rick.
It's purple.
I don't get it.
What, Rick? Why did you choose him?
He's a
purple Lamborghini.
Well, I wanted to stand out, so I figure purple. Yeah. Purple will do it.
Yeah. Plus, you're a big fan of Minnesota. And
so he's rich. So he, you worked at Wacky, the original Wacky, 4th Street. Now, that I went to an interview there when it was 790 W, whatever it was. It was a talk station, and I was going to do something for them, and I went down there, and I was like, oh, this is where Wacky was. Yeah. Oh my God! Well, because 790 was Wacky.
Well, let me tell you, I wanted to be in radio. Since 7 years old. 7 years old, I decided this is what I want to do. And my influences, my very first influence was Bill Bailey on Wacky.
Did you meet him or know him?
I got a good Bill Bailey story for you.
Yeah, right. We want to hear it.
If you want to hear it.
No, we absolutely. Yours, because, listen, the very first influence I had that made me want to be in radio was the Duke of Louisville, Bill Bailey.
Go.
He's one of the nicest guys.
Is he?
Yeah, well, here's the story. I worked all nights there at Wacky, and the very first night I worked, Bailey was notorious for not coming in on time. He was supposed to be on the air from 5 till 9 every morning,
right.
So he usually showed up about 5:30. So the all-night guy, just that was a prerequisite. You have to stay extra until Bailey walks in.
Up, I remember that. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember the first time I ever met Bill Bailey. He walks in the door about 5:30, bloodshot eyes, and looks at me and goes, Rick Ryder, how in the hell are you?
But no, you're right, though, because...
Wasn't there a bar right across the street?
Right.
And there were, I think Coyote told me several times, we would go over and get him and just drag him across 4th Street. His feet would be dragging over the cobblestones or whatever it was, and then dragging
I think that bar was called Coons the Dutchman, I believe. Bailey frequented that place quite
Coons
often.
But
Coons the Dutchman, it was a nice joint, though, wasn't it?
It was until Bailey got there.
I guarantee it. But Cowdy Calhoun, which I worked with, or we worked with for decades, he was on that station. He did evenings on that station, and that's when they played 45s. So and those songs back then were very short. They were 3 minutes, and I believe at that time Cowdy was talking in between each song.
Yeah, and something about Cowdy too, at the top of the hour, he always picked a song right after the station ID that had like at least a 30-second intro so he can hold the old clock like 7 o'clock. Yeah, he did that. He played Gimme Some Lovin' by the Spencer Davis Group out of the station ID one time, and I think that's like a 40-second intro.
Yeah,
and he held that old clock on that. That's amazing.
Well, here's a little inside baseball. When you hear the jock talking among the music, he's talking, he or she's talking over the music, and then when they stop talking, say like 840 WHS, and then the vocals come in.
Yeah,
that's called hitting the post.
Hitting the post. Talking up the ramp and hitting the post.
All right.
Well, on WQMF one night, we had a new guy come in, and he was playing, it's John Cougar's Ain't Even Done With The Night.
It's 2 minutes and 80. It's 2 minutes and it's almost three-minute talk.
Right. And I said, surely to God, he's not going to try to talk. And he did.
Yeah.
Anyway, my mom decided when I was 6 that baseball wasn't right for. She pulled me out of T-ball. I'm like, just play the song.
I had one of the old bands on. I can't. The Monarchs, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, they're still together today. Yeah.
So they were. They came in. This is 15 years ago, and they came in when I was on 790 WKRD, and we were doing the Afternoon Underdogs. And they came in to talk about the album, and then I think Billy Reed, God rest his soul, was talking about a book he was writing, and he brought those guys in, and they were talking about the Wacky days. And I looked at him and said, you know you're on Wacky right now. And he looked up at the big 790 and goes, oh my gosh, you're right, I am. Because he was just always, oh, those were the days. If you got a chance to be on Wacky, that was it. And I was like, you know you're on that station right now. Our 790 KRD, which we've been sports for a long time, that was the most popular music station in Louisville.
No, absolutely. And by the way, Rick, they did things that were huge within the city of Louisville. The Wacky Haunted House was always the haunted house you wanted to go to.
Yeah, it was right at the corner of 4th and St. Catherine.
Right. Yes.
Every year.
And then they also, I don't even remember this, they had the Wacky Rambling Raft Race.
Yes.
And people
yes.
would build their rafts.
And they did it until somebody died.
Right, I guess.
Somebody drowned, they had to stop it. Because they made them out of cardboard.
They didn't
wake
out of anything. And the people would have this raft race down the Ohio.
It was like Derby. It was during Derby. I think they just, and you had to, you raced your own homemade built boat raft down the river. And I think finally somebody died and they're like, okay,
luckily, the homemade raft contest somehow morphed into the homemade bikini contest at the Toy Tiger.
Somehow. I am seeing that a couple of times.
Things did work out after all, though. So, but anyway, you were right. You were talking about how. Because now in radio, it's not quite the same. If somebody's not showing up for their shift, there's other people here. But when I was working at WQMF, and I was, you know, everybody starts out overnights. If the morning show's not there, or whoever's not there at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whenever you're supposed to leave, you're sitting there. Your ass is stuck there by yourself.
No automation, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they obviously most famous for starting their station by playing Purple People Eater 24 hours straight.
That's why Rick has a purple Lamborghini.
There you go.
See, it all comes back. Full circle.
That was about 1957, 58, I think.
Yeah. Wow. No way. That is crazy.
Well, it's another stupid lawsuit. A woman is suing over the ready time of her Velveeta shells and cheese. Talking about Amanda Ramirez. She bought the...
Is she calling liars?
Yeah, here's what she's saying. But I don't see on any planet how this is physically possible. Ramirez claims she has a class action lawsuit filed saying she never would have bought the product if she knew how long it took to prepare. She says on the box, the label says it takes 3.5 minutes to prepare. So I don't know if it's a microwave deal or what, but if it's boiling shells and cheese... I mean, it's not. You're not even going to get it boiling water unless you have...
Well, you boil the water first.
Right.
And then you throw it in. The noodles should take about 4 minutes or so, I guess, is what she's saying.
She says in the suit, she claims that it doesn't say exactly how long, or it says it says that it's supposed to be done in 3.5 minutes. She doesn't say how long it took her to prepare her macaroni and cheese, but apparently she thinks it's worth $5 million for having to take that time. So here, another these lawsuits. I wish that it could be turned around on the people that, you know, with these stupid lawsuits like this,
yeah.
Say, well, of course you're going to lose and now you're going to pay.
Yeah. I'm going to say something unpopular.
Okay.
I think macaroni and cheese is trash.
Oh my gosh. Of all the things, what if it's listening right now?
I think it's trash.
Listen.
I don't get macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese has feelings too.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Is it a poor man's fettuccine Alfredo? What are we doing?
I love macaroni and cheese.
Ugh.
But only if you have the powdered cheese.
Yeah, you like the 1970s stuff.
Right. Mm. It's like, I sent my wife out. I said, hey, honey, we're going to have spaghetti night, but we're out of Parmesan cheese. Please go get some. So she went to Sam's. I'm expecting, like any red blood American is expecting, a round green cylinder
of fake cheese inside.
Well, it's not necessarily, it says Parmesan cheese on it, so it's not fake.
It's not a filler.
But of powder. She brings back shredded Parmesan cheese.
Actual Parmesan cheese.
I said, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? This doesn't soak up into the pasta sauce.
Yeah.
What are you? I had to ask her, I said, what are you, an idiot? Boy, I kind of regret asking her that.
Yeah, that's not good. You didn't go to work that next day.
Must have been her time of the month or something.
But you know what? You should have just gone to Pabst's.
That's
beef jerky, dude.
Right. There's one jerky, baby, and it's Pabst's beef jerky. We keep it in the Witten kitchen. We also keep it in both of our cars. Now Susan's doing it. Why? It's the perfect snack. Pabst's beef jerky's not going to melt and get all over your interior. Plus, you're not going to get that sugar crash. Not to mention, Pabst's beef jerky is the best beef jerky in the universe because It's handmade right here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I mean really handmade. I'm talking about men and women hand slicing. Did you hear that? Hand slicing. It's not machines stomping things out. The premium cuts of meat, then putting them into the seasoning into these big, beautiful box smokers, and then that's how you get Pabst beef jerky. Find your favorite flavor. I'm going to highly encourage you to try the Grippo's barbecue. That's mine. That's what I keep with me, but every flavor is delicious. Find yours at PabstJerky.com.
All right, short break. We'll come back. Show is flying by today. Thanks for listening to the Tony and Dwight Show. Rick is our producer today. Dave will be back tomorrow on News Radio 840 WHAS. Do monsters exist? Yes.
Of course they do.
And I'm not talking about Courtney Donahoe.
No, we work for a couple of them.
Yeah, I talk about this 20-foot Nile crocodile.
Whoa!
All right, that the locals have named Gustav.
Gustav.
Gustav has eaten more than 300 people over the years.
Du hast alligator?
He, what?
Du hast alligator?
Du what?
You have alligator?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't speak German. You gotta stop like I'm talking. You're not talking to Lemmy.
I forgot to tell you. I went back into my German industrial metal phase while I was on vacation.
Thank you.
My wife's life has been miserable.
Poor girl.
I've had Rammstein just cranking every single morning.
All right. Experts say this enormous crocodile, again, 20-foot Nile croc, is as old as 100 years old.
Well, they're dinosaurs, right?
Basically, National Geographic says
if you get me sick before I go to Cabo San Lucas,
it's allergies. Back off. Say that records of his attacks go back to 100 years.
Are you allergic to a-holes or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, that'll explain it.
Thank you.
Talk about Rick, right?
So this crocodile, 20-foot crocodile, has eaten 300 people.
What?
They've attempted to trap him and kill him. He's even got scars on his head from bullet wounds.
Has anybody thought about maybe not getting in that lake or river or wherever he lives?
Yeah, well.
Hey, Courtney, we have a crocodile that needs killing.
Yeah. What?
Get your crocodile killing outfit.
We have a 20-foot Nile crocodile named Gustav. It's killed 300 people.
It's in the Nile?
It's in the Nile.
Hey, the Nile ain't just a city in Cairo.
That's exactly right.
Can you eat a crocodile?
Yes.
No, you can only eat that. Oh, really? Okay. Because alligator.
Same thing.
No, I think it's just difference in their mouth.
They're different.
Like one of their jaws open up, one, right?
And one goes down.
I don't know, but I've had when we used to have a restaurant here called Joe's OK by You. Mm. I used to love there, and you get gator tail.
Oh, it's good stuff.
It pretty much tastes like chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
I love fritters. I love gator fritters.
Those
are really good.
I'm still friends with the owner, Joe Wheatley, and now I'm thinking, maybe he was just giving me chicken nuggets and telling me, hey, that's what his gator tail.
Gator tail.
This is what it tastes like. I love it.
The internet, or I'm sorry, the market does a switcheroo on us all the time. What's the market doing today for a Monday?
Well, we've had a lot of crazy things going on, and we're looking to China because there is rising anger against China's COVID curbs. This has erupted in protests that risk complicating the nation's path to reopening. And remember, they are the number two economy in the world. So we are seeing stocks lower, but the turmoil is also hurting some individual companies. For example, Apple is lower in trading because Apple's distribution, or there's disruptions at Apple's key manufacturing hub in China, likely to result in a production shortfall of close to 6 million iPhone Pros this year. So, an Apple, the iPhone, that is their best-selling item. Other things we're tracking today, too, is Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday is today. Hope you're out there shopping. And for retailers, there have been pockets of growth in categories such as toys and clothing for professionals looking to update their wardrobes for the return to office. According to Adobe, shoppers spent their money primarily on electronics, smart home items, and audio equipment. I'll be looking forward to the gift that you guys will be sending me. And the chief executive officers of local giant Kroger and Albertsons, they're going to testify before the Senate tomorrow about the company's proposed merger. I'm going to be following that for you all day tomorrow. So skeptical lawmakers say this could reduce competition among the supermarkets, but the deal would create a grocery giant with nearly 5,000 stores. Giving you a quick check of the markets before I go. The Dow down 258 points. The S&P 500 down 0.9%. With the News Radio 840 WHAS Bloomberg Money Report, I'm Courtney Donahoe.
Hey, baby, this is Little Steven. You are listening to Tony and Dwight.
That was a fun interview. Steven Van Zandt from the Springsteen East Street Band.
Okay, I have a deal for you.
You do?
Frontier Airlines.
Yeah?
They're offering $600. Here's the deal. $600, unlimited flight, annual pass.
What?
That includes a $15 per ticket fee when you actually fly. Okay.
Here's what I'm in fear of, though. I'm in fear that in the Frontier boardroom or something, they were going, we're getting ready to go under. How can we do one last cash grab?
Okay.
You know, I don't know that to be true, okay, but that's just my criminal thinking.
Well, they're not thinking about this
kicking
year. Because here's what you have to do. So $600, you fly unlimited for a year. And the second, but you have to sign up for the second year. The second year is $2,000.
It's still worth it.
So $2,600, you fly anywhere you want, every weekend if you want, for 2 years.
I'm good with that.
I think it's a damn good price.
Well, of course it is. I mean, I wanted to go up to Cincinnati to see our friends. Well, let's just fly there. What do you say?
Yeah, so two years, $2,600 a piece, and there are 56 blackout dates out of the 365.
Okay. And that's going to be the holidays, and I want to do that anyway.
And here's the other caveat. They won't confirm your flight till the day before.
Oh, okay. So listen.
Yeah.
Susan has a friend that worked for Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And about 20 years ago, we wanted to go to Atlanta to see the Rolling Stones. So her friend set us up on these tickets for free or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was fine. Problem was, when we were coming back from Atlanta to Louisville from the Stone Show, it was some kind of deal like, well, you aren't paying, so you're on this waiting list.
Yes.
We got on, but I hate crap like that.
The uncertainty is a little bit rough.
For example, when we fly to Cabo San Lucas, I always make sure that we have a long, long layover coming back, because you got to go through customs. Mm-hmm. I like the rushing and knowing if I'm not going to make my flight. You know, I want plenty of time.
All right, and his second flight opportunity is in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport. Yes, Cincinnati's biggest airport is in Kentucky. Announced the newest airline. They are going to do five times a week that you're going to have a direct flight to London.
Wow. London, Kentucky?
No, London, England.
Oh,
okay.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that's more attractive.
You can book now for just $665 per person. See, I want to go to London so bad.
I don't, because of the length of the flight.
I want to go. I don't think it's that bad.
Hang on. 8 hours or something.
See, how long is a flight from New York to London?
Why are you yelling at me?
7 hours.
Says it's too. Can't do it. I had a buddy who lived in Australia. He goes, you need to come and see me. I said, how long is the flight, Greg? He said, well, all in all, about 24 hours. I said, well, I'll see you at Christmas.
Yeah, one of Jackie's uncles, his oldest son, married someone from Thailand, and they've lived in Thailand for 30 years.
Wow.
And they love it, and he only goes like every 6 or 7 years or whatever, because he says it's 26-hour flights. Like, you're there 2 days, 2 or 3 days later.
When we go to Mexico, it's broken up. You do like 2 hours to Dallas, and then you do about 2.5 hours to Cabo San Lucas. So I could do that, but I could never sit 6 hours straight on a plane.
Thailand just sounds
nuts.
So awesome, though.
I've got a buddy who lives there. Dave Toborowski.
Yeah, I asked him, your buddy, I said, what's the crime like? And he goes, well, I could tell you this. I cannot tell you the last time they had a murder.
Hmm.
Like, he goes, it doesn't happen. Well, they also have a government that says, hey, if you screw up,
we're going to chop your hand off.
You go bye-bye. No, so nobody screws up.
Hey, what'd you do? Steal some bubble yum? Chop his hand off.
Chop it.
Hey, but somehow it works. Hey, Rick, you got any Haywood Banks by any chance?
Got it right here for you.
Let's throw a little of this in real quick for this next story.
All around the country and coast to coast, people always say, what do you like most? I don't want to brag. I don't want to boast. I always tell them I like toast.
Very nice. Well, we're playing this. I kind of want to get to the French toast part.
Funny, neat songs.
I get up in the morning about 6 a.m.
Where's Weird Al when you need him?
Have a little jelly.
Hey! Hey! All right, go ahead and pot it down. Go ahead and pot it down. That little Haywood Banks toast. In case you're wondering why I'll play that, is because today is National French Toast Day. So I
love French toast.
I did what I do. I pull up facts about the day. So let's hear some French toast facts. You wanna?
Yeah.
All right. The phrase French toast first appeared in the Encyclopedia in American Food and Drink in 1871.
1871, okay.
But recipes for French toast can be traced all the way back to ancient Roman times.
Right.
One of the original French names for the dish was Le Pain à la Romaine.
Well, they had everything.
Meaning Roman bread.
Yeah, well, they had everything. If you had bread, check. Yeah. Egg, check. Yeah. Milk, check.
Is that what? I thought they had like sugar or something on French toast.
Well, you could do powdered sugar on top of it, but you don't have powdered sugar in Rome. Is that ancient Rome?
Not with that attitude, you don't. Right. So, are you telling me that that's all it is eggs?
You take an egg.
Okay.
You put it in milk.
Yes.
You stir it up.
Right.
That's the mix. You dip the piece of bread in it.
Yeah.
And you
fry
it on a frying pan. That's French toast.
Damn, that sounds good.
It's delicious. Now, the lady Sandy with an I at the Jewish Community Center said, "Oh, why don't you try?" She said, "Do you have a French cream that you put in your coffee?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Use that instead of milk."
What? Oh.
And I went,
"What kind of witchcraft is this you're talking about, Sandy?
What are you doing to me, Sandy?"
Well, medieval recipes for French toast suggested that the meal was only for the wealthy, and here's why. The recipe in medieval times used white bread, still does today, which was the very finest, most expensive bread available. Plus, the crusts were cut off, and that's something a person of meager means. Something a broke person would not do.
Yes, correct. They would not mix up, they wouldn't waste an egg. They would cook an egg up.
And they wouldn't cut the crust off, right?
Well, I don't cut the crust off. What are you talking about?
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, you're not in medieval times. That's
and I will tell you, lots of pasta, Louisville.com.
Yes.
Get the Italian loaf,
right?
The large Italian loaf, and make your French toast with that. Ugh. It's heaven.
According to the Encyclopedia of American Food and Drink, French toast does have origins in France.
Instead of like French fries that aren't French.
Right.
It's French toast is
back.
Actually France.
And the meaning of it is pain perdu is how to say it. Lost bread. Lost. Like you lost a game. Lost bread. Makes no sense.
The hell are you talking about?
I don't know. That's what it translates. That's what they call it over there. Lost bread. All right, one last
so
one.
So I can't order French toast in France. They call it something else.
I guess so. Damn, I think by now they probably caught up. And
what do
they
you, say? You say? French... What do you say, stupid American?
Right. You say, hey, can I have some coffee, some French toast?
You invented it. French toast.
Hey, dumbass.
You just brought me regular toast.
Well, that's here in France. So what do you expect? We just call it toast. Let's do one last one. In Scotland, French toast, I like this idea. French toast is traditionally served with sausage between two slices of French toast and eaten like a sandwich. Here's what I don't like. In Great Britain, some eat French toast with ketchup. That sounds disgusting.
Sounds completely disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. So anyway, happy French toast day to you.
Lots of pasta, Louisville.com.
Yes.
Just a clue there.
Yes.
Okay.
Who do we have?
I don't think we have anybody. Before we go to break, FBI director wants, they're going to seriously start talking about TikTok. People don't understand how this is a national security threat. I know you enjoy it. I know TikTok is fun, but it is owned by the Chinese and they are rolling you. Okay. They are tracking they're tracking every American that's on TikTok. I am not. I'm not on TikTok.
Well, here's the difference, though. in China, they limit the children.
Yeah.
To like 30 minutes a day TikTok. Yeah. And on that, it's like, hey, my name's Dr. Such and Such. Let's do a math equation together, right. Shall we?
Yeah.
Well, over here is saying, hey, put this firecracker up your butt and see if you can run down the block before it goes off. And the kids do stupid stuff like that.
China's rolling this, and they're laughing the whole way.
Of course they are.
So the FBI is like, look, we have got to get a hold of TikTok. You basically have let the Chinese government inside 100 million phone users in America.
I'm going to open up something called TalkTik.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would work.
Right.
All right, short break. We'll come back.
Oh, from Lance McGarvey.
Yeah.
French toast is gross. Well, maybe your face is gross, Lance McGarvey.
You don't know anything, Lance McGarvey. You're not going to get any Tony Vannetti's French toast made with Sandy's from the JCC's French vanilla coffee mate.
As a matter of fact, hand me the Christmas card list real quick.
Yeah, get it off.
Take him off here.
Get off. Take it off. No, we're not going to break till you take Lance McGarvey off.
He's off. No more Lance McGarvey.
Back after this. News Radio 840. WHAS. From Brandon Moody on Twitter, Tony, can you please tell Dwight that my old college roommate in 1996 at UK was Eddie Wheatley, Joe's brother? He says Joe Wheatley all the time, and he says it snaps his brain back. That is awesome. The Wheatleys are a great family.
Great family, except they need to open Joe's OK Bayou back up.
And another one, hang on. Another one from Caleb Brown. We're going to have him on next week. I think you'll be in Cabo.
Yep.
We're talking about they expect a ruling on school choice by the Supreme Court in Kentucky.
Oh, wow, that's
on
big.
December 15th.
Wow.
December 15th. So parents of children that are in school age, cross your fingers.
Hey, I want to say real quick before we get out of here, we got a little bit of time, but join me tomorrow. Tony Vannetti will be on a well-deserved vacation.
Yeah.
But join me and my guest, Brian Johns from Mosby Records. We're going to be talking about Towing for Tots. Plus, actor C. Thomas Howe will join the show, as well as Kenny Wayne Shepherd. So a lot of people coming in and out tomorrow.
I just want to go back to the beginning of the show where I correctly predicted that rock and roll would take a dive.
Yes.
College basketball would take a dive.
Yes, you did.
And I've now got to come to the conclusion that Thanksgiving is over, and the fault is Granny.
Yeah.
Granny, this is your fault. We used to do what Granny said, and now Granny is the baby boomers. So the baby boomers grew up smoking weed, partying.
They were totally anti-turkey.
Everything. Oh, totally. Key parties? Just go home with whoever you want,
right,
Granny.
Right.
So now Granny's like, I don't want you at my house. What makes you think I want to cook all day for you people? So it's not us, Granny.
No.
It's you, Granny.
When we said stuffed giblets, we meant the turkey, nasty-minded
Why is everybody's
mouth.
Granny so dirty now?
I don't know.
Because they grew up in the 60s.
That's right.
You freakos.
Yeah, Woodstock. You did the brown asses,
hey,
didn't you?
Hey, by the way, Granny,
you did the brown
where's
acid.
Grandpa?
I know Grandpa.
Accidental? Accidental. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get it. So Thanksgiving is done, thanks to Granny.
It's just going to be called giving.
That's all it should be.
Yeah.
Is whatever. No, it should be called whatever you want to do 4 days. It's no rules. Black Friday, done, gone, no one cares.
Even as a kid, that's what I look forward to. I don't look forward to driving around, go see this person, the food, and then I wanted the 4 days off.
I'll tell you the sign of the death of Thanksgiving. The biggest game that most people talked about over the weekend was a World Cup game between USA and England. What the hell is the world come to when a soccer game outdoes the NFL?
Okay, I'm done.
You okay?
Rick, thank you so much.
Yeah, Rick.
Special angel in our hearts. Dwight Whitten, love you dearly. And
I love
fun.
You too. And have a good
couple days.
4 days off.
Whatever. News Radio 840 WHAS.
I love you, Ma.
Whatever.